And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Welcome to the St. Patrick's Day edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm your host, Jason McAgnew, taking you through 2 hours of pro wrestling and MMA chatter with a lovely assortment of guests. We'll kick things off tonight by chatting the week that was in WWE in our triple threat featuring a man who has refereed many a triple threat before, former WWE referee and co-host of Aftermath, Jimmy Corderis. He'll also be joined by one half of the team that brings you Wrestling Observer Live every day, Mike Sempervivi. Then in hour two, Dave Meltzer will stop by to chat the latest in the Lucha Brothers Young Bucks feud, and it wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day without chatting about a Conor McGregor drunken incident as well. Also in hour two, I'm very pleased to welcome our featured guest this week, joined by a man who will be here in Toronto next Sunday night for the Greektown Wrestling event, teaming with his old tag team partner Tajiri, ECW alumnus Mikey Whipwreck. We'll be here to reminisce about ECW and also discuss why he continues to get back into the squared circle despite his multiple retirements. And yes, another quarterfinal edition of Turnbuckle Trivia with an Irish twist and lots of your feedback, both audio and the written word. It's all coming at you, so as the mouth would say, let's get down to it and get you all caught up with this week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, to kick things off, more gold around the waist of the Young Bucks. They are the new AAA Tag Team Champions after appearing at last night's AAA Rey de Reyes event. After the Lucha Brothers defeated Rey Scorpion and El Texano Jr. to win the titles in the main event, Conan came out and confronted the new champions. At that moment, the lights went out. When they came back on, the Young Bucks were in the ring and an impromptu match for the tag team titles started. It was a short bout with the Bucks winning the titles after hitting the Meltzer driver on Pentagon Jr. while previously laying out Phoenix on the floor with an Indy Taker. The two then exited the ring and celebrated with Conan as the show ended. Now, naturally, with the rematch with these two teams already scheduled for Double or Nothing, I'd suspect it's going to be for the AAA tag team titles. Keep in mind, though, the Young Bucks are heels in AAA, but of course, babyfaces in AEW. It's got a real Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart angle going for it, which is ingenious on their part. So that is something to look forward to. Over to WWE now. As the world of work and shoot continues to collide, this Ronda Rousey angle continues. And those of you that read she was fined by the WWE, well, she was in storyline, that is. WWE.com wrote Ronda Rousey has been fined by WWE as a result of her unprofessional actions on Monday night on Raw. Due to the confidentiality of Rousey's contract, the amount of fine will not be disclosed. Appropriate action has been taken. Okay. Much like Ronda's promo and much like Ronda said, it's fake. It's all fake. In more fake news, Fightful reported on Tuesday that Eminem and WWE have reached a deal where Eminem will contribute to the soundtrack of this year's WWE 2K20 video game. And apparently, the deal was also supposed to include him making an appearance on SmackDown this fall when it moves to Fox. Well, that was news to Eminem's people, as a spokesperson for Eminem told Pro Wrestling Sheet there was a brief exploratory conversation that involved a third party in 2K Sports, not Eminem's team. It has not gone beyond preliminary discussions, and any reports to the contrary are false. Right now, there are no plans to further pursue it. I guess you could say chances of Eminem being a part of WWE are slim, and this report was shady. Yep, I said it. Now, something that is real, though, is the fact that Dean Ambrose is apparently still leaving WWE. Last week, we speculated on the post-Fastlane show that due to the heavy-handedness of the WWE saying Dean is leaving and this is the Shield's last time together, that they must have re-signed him. Well, apparently, that is still not the case. At this juncture, all reports still point to the fact that he is leaving after his contract ends. And yes, apparently, that is in time for him to be available for Double or Nothing should he choose to do a contract with AEW. Chelsea Green, that's the former Psycho Bride, Lauren Van Ness, in Impact Wrestling. Well, she's now with the WWE and made her dark match debut this past Wednesday night at the NXT tapings. Now, unfortunately, she suffered a broken wrist in the match and had to undergo surgery, so she'll be out for a considerable amount of time on the mend. Such a bad break, pardon the pun, for Chelsea Green. If you don't want NXT spoilers, then please don't listen to this next item. However, there has been a huge shuffle in NXT due to the Tommaso Ciampa injury, and we now have answers about what will be happening to replace his match with Johnny Gargano at the NXT WrestleMania show. Triple H appeared at the tapings and revealed Ciampa's injury and subsequent surgery, which has forced him to relinquish the belt. A fatal five-way was held to determine who would face Johnny Gargano at the WrestleMania TakeOver show, and it was won by Adam Cole, baby. So Cole will face Gargano for the championship in a 2-out-of-3 falls match at the Mania TakeOver event. This will all play out on upcoming episodes of NXT. Okay, back to some non-spoiler news now. ACH made his television debut this week, wrestling under his real name, Albert Hardy Jr. He lost a match to Humberto Carrillo in his debut. In the world of 205 Live, Tony Nese and Cedric Alexander will square off in the finals of the 205 Live number one contenders tournament this week. Now, odds are the babyface of Alexander here is going to win to face Buddy Murphy for the 205 Live title at WrestleMania, which is a rematch from last October at the Super Showdown Australia show where Murphy won the title. And don't get me wrong, that was a great match, but apparently 205 Live is like a hamster trapped in the wheel of the WWE Universe, continuing to recycle this feud. For those of you that subscribe to WWE Network and can't seem to get enough wrestling in your life, well, more WCW Thunder episodes, wow, will be uploaded to the network tomorrow. Apparently, you'll be getting 20 episodes that you didn't watch then and probably will not watch now either. The movie Changeland, which Randy Orton will co-star in, is scheduled for a theatrical release on June 7th. The film is directed and stars Seth Green, who we know is a big wrestling fan, but get this, also stars Macaulay Culkin. I can't wait to see him eat an RKO. ROH held their 17th anniversary pay-per-view this past Friday in Las Vegas and then TV tapings on Saturday night, which set up a lot of the matches that are going to be on the WrestleMania weekend MSG show. First up, Marty Scurll defeated Kenny King in the opening match of the Friday night card, and Scurll will now dramatically race up the card, as earlier this week, ROH announced that Scurll will be the one to challenge Jay Lethal for his world championship at the G1 Supercard at MSG. Now, that would actually change at the TV tapings the next night when Matt Taven was injected into the match and it was turned into a ladder match. The ROH World TV title match was Jeff Cobb, who defeated Shane Taylor. Cobb now looks to be set up against the NEVER Openweight Championship with Will Ospreay in a champion versus champion match at MSG. The Women of Honor Championship match was Mayu Iwatani with Sumi Sakai defeating Kelly Klein. The ROH World Heavyweight title match was Jay Lethal, who is your champion, and Matt Taven. Jay Lethal is still the champion because it went to a 60-minute time limit draw on Friday night. You definitely do not see that very often. Roosh defeated Bandito. Dalton Castle was on commentary for this match and looks to be facing Roosh at the MSG show, so expect Roosh to go over the former ROH champion to continue his ascension up the card. And then finally, there was a no DQ world tag team match with Villain Enterprises, that's Brody King and PCO, still going, defeating the Briscoes, J and Mark Briscoe. So they now have the ROH tag titles, and along with that, Villain Enterprises also went on to win the ROH six-man tag titles at Saturday night's tapings as well. Looks like they're really putting steam behind this trio. Their opponents for the G1 Supercard looks to be the Gorillas of Destiny. That is going to be a fun match, and there will be lots of titles involved there. Both the IWGP and ROH World Tag Titles will be on the line for that one. Flipping over to MLW, they've announced that they've come to terms with Jim Cornette to extend his presence ringside as an analyst for their programming. Cornette is scheduled for MLW's shows in New York City on April 4th and 5th, Milwaukee on June 1st, and Illinois on July the 5th. 6. He'll no doubt be driving to each of the locations. Okay, one final MMA note here. Former UFC 2 division champion Conor McGregor was arrested in Miami, Florida early Monday morning for allegedly smashing a fan's smartphone. Apparently, McGregor was walking out of a hotel at 5 a.m. and a fan tried to take a picture. He then grabbed the phone out of his hand, smashed it with his foot before taking it. He actually took it. McGregor's legal team released a short statement saying last evening Conor McGregor was involved in a minor altercation with a cell phone that resulted in a call to law enforcement. Mr. McGregor appreciates the response of law enforcement and pledges his full cooperation. McGregor later wrote, "Patience in the world is a virtue I continue to work on. I love my fans dearly. Thank you all." So McGregor was arrested for strong arm robbery and criminal mischief. Those are both felonies. He was later released from jail, posting a $12,500 bond. He has an arraignment scheduled for April 10th, but won't have to appear if he enters a plea of not guilty beforehand, which I guess he shall be doing. So happy St. Patrick's Day to Conor McGregor, and we hope all of you out there are drinking proper 12, because apparently he drank a little too much of it. Okay. Break time here on the show, but when we come back, I'm going to chat about this week on TV and an angle that I thought was great with Randy Orton, as shocking as that is. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you, Strikes-a-Mania is coming, and it's going to be on the Thursday of WrestleMania weekend. Okay, now Strikes-a-Mania, of course, the series of comedy wrestling shows that I do here at Comedy Bar in Toronto. This is a championship defense for our title holder, Jamie Kavanaugh. We actually have a real title that we use for these. It's a very fun night. It's a whole bunch of inside wrestling jokes. And listen, I know all of you have a very busy WrestleMania weekend, and I didn't want to compete on my regular Friday night spot against NXT, so we're doing it on the Thursday before NXT. So it's Thursday, April the 4th at 9:30 p.m. Get your tickets now and come on down and hang out with us. It is a very fun show loaded with wrestling comedy. It's like a whole show of inside wrestling jokes. So come on down and check it out. Tickets are now on sale, $15 each, and they are available at snmeradio.com. I put a big post up there with a poster, so find your way there. Taking a break, coming on back. Yep, going to chat nicely about Randy Orton. Shocking. That's next. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott Goldman, and I am the number one contender for the Strikes-a-Mania Championship. And just like I won the Rumble Strikes, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30, I'm going to Comedy Bar, and I'm going to take the title that Jamie Kavanaugh has been keeping warm for me, and I'm going to bring it home. And that, my friends, is not a prediction, it's a spoiler.
Strikes-a-Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advance tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents,
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
In 2005, AJ was down in Florida getting a tan with Dixie Carter while I was here facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Guys like you would not have made it in my world. Not with things like this and a knockoff diamond cutter.
Get ready to fly.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. There is my favorite clip of the week this week. And I am just baffled. I'm so surprised that I'm saying this about Randy Orton and AJ Styles, a feud that, as of Monday, I did not care about at all. And as of Tuesday at the completion of SmackDown, can't wait. This was so good this week. To me, it was the perfect blend of real and fake. The perfect amount of comments thrown in for fans who follow wrestling in depth to go, oh. And it's like it's like an inside joke is what it's like. And with lines of Orton saying, shaking hands with opponents, you know, that's a nod to ROH. Getting a tan with Dixie Carter, mentioning TNA on WWE TV, ooh. And then AJ comes back with lines like, guys like you weren't made for my world. They wouldn't have made it, but look in the back. There's a whole bunch of my indie pals here. The knockoff diamond cutter line, that was great. Orton then mentioning ripping off the Too Sweet sign, getting your father to get you a job, protected by Evolution Legacy and rated RKO. All of these were excellent references and felt very rewarding as a wrestling fan, as a WWE fan who has to watch this every week or chooses to watch this every week. This is something where you're rewarded for all of your watching by this particular promo. And it's not over the top. That's really my key here. WWE is always so heavy-handed when they do angles. I mean, look at what's happening with Kofi Kingston. It's just such overkill with me. But with this, it's throwing out references and then allowing the audience to connect the dots a little bit, leading them along. But it's a little more rewarding when you actually have to think about something and get the reference rather than just being smashed over the head with it like the WWE is often guilty of doing. And timing-wise, let's look at this. Now you can do a week where Orton gets the advantage on AJ, a following week where AJ gets the advantage on Orton, and then at the end, a pull apart or one more promo, and bam, you're into WrestleMania. It is the perfect amount of time for this feud to build. I can't believe that I'm interested in something that Randy Orton is doing because it's been a very long time since I have been. Now, on the other side of things, we also got this week.
Give me what I want! Give me what I want! I am going to give you the beating you deserve, Dane, and nothing more!
No,
that's not what I want! I want you at WrestleMania!
This, to me, was the exact opposite of the Randy Orton promo for a few reasons. Opposite in my interest as well. I wasn't interested in Randy Orton, and I've been interested in seeing Dave Bautista come back since he cut that really fun promo on SmackDown 1000. But on Monday night, what I saw was two 50-year-old men yelling the same thing at each other over and over and over again. Did someone forget a line? Because it sure felt like someone did. Are we supposed to know what Batista wants? I mean, I know, and listeners of this show, you guys probably know that Batista wanted to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania for years, and he stated this on social media and in interviews, and he has said that WWE has made it really difficult to make this happen. But do all those fans watching know that? I don't think so. And on top of that, is that reason enough for people to want to see this match? Once again, I don't think so. I think what fans remember about Batista is he cut that really cool and casual promo on SmackDown 1000 that left off saying that Hunter has done everything in his career, but he's never beat me. Right? Remember that line? He's never beat Big Dave. That got a huge reaction. So in this game of promo chess, what's Hunter's next move? Wouldn't that have made more sense for Hunter to take a shot at Batista at Rick's birthday party as opposed to Dave having to attack Ric Flair? Now, granted, I know what you're going to say because I liked the way the Ric Flair angle was done and I defended it when I spoke with Mouth about it. I liked the execution of the angle, but now that I think about it, why is the guy who's loved and is in a series of extremely popular comic book movies coming back to be a heel? I mean, I know there were problems the way Batista came back last time with the Daniel Bryan scenario, but this time, this guy's Drax. He gets all the best lines anytime he's on camera in the MCU. He should be loved. And for all those years, let's remember this, Triple H held him down. It wasn't until he left the WWE that he was able to spread his wings, and look what he's accomplished. Oh, and more importantly, going back to Batista's SmackDown 1000 promo, when it comes to WrestleMania, Triple H never beat Batista. Batista defeated Triple H in the main event of WrestleMania 21 and won the WWE title. So shouldn't Triple H be wanting that win back? To me, that seems like a more compelling and more wrestling-oriented program than what we're seeing here. Just think about those promos. Batista coming back, talking about being Guardian of the Galaxy, or if Triple H made fun of him like the Guardians of the Independence scene, Batista could throw in a chaperone reference. Come on! Or a Blade reference. Because Triple H was one of the villains in some terrible Blade movie way back. He no-sold an arrow to the eye from what I remember. Then again, no matter which way you get here, the problem with this angle is ultimately going to be that Triple H and Batista are going to be in the ring for 20 minutes at WrestleMania because that's what Hunter does. And unfortunately, in the WWE universe, there's no Thanos to snap his fingers and make these two disappear. When we come back, Triple Threat, let's talk about Kurt Angle, and let's talk about what's happening with Kurt Angle's retirement match at WrestleMania. We'll do so next with Jimmy Corderas and Mike Sempervivi. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
I'm Bartender Dave.
And I'm Danny Williams.
And we would like for you to answer the call. The Call to Arms podcast.
The five-star rated podcast on iTunes.
And we talk about wrestling, but in a different way.
We're not just doing recaps of what you've already watched and digested.
And that's not a work.
And the best part is that it's all free.
It's the Call to Arms podcast, hosted by the award-winning Bartender Dave and Danny Williams.
Follow us on Twitter at Call to Arms Pod.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gotta be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's main event. And joining me this week for our Triple Threat matchup, you may know him as a co-host every day, 6 days a week on Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you are paired with a man who has refereed many a Triple Threat and is also the co-host on Sportsnet Aftermath, Jimmy Corderas. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, guys, let's kick things off here talking about the fact that we're only 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. And there's only a few matches that, you know, we're not sure of. And one of the main setups that we saw this week is the Kurt Angle retirement match. This is an angle leading up. So I wanted to throw this out there. It's been a hot topic this week on the internet. Who is the right opponent for Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? Maybe I'll go with maybe the opponent you want to see and the opponent that you think is actually going to happen. Mike, let's start with you. What do you think?
I think it's the same for me, and that is John Cena.
Right.
I think there's been a lot of banter with people that, hey, it could be Joe and you could relive that TNA thing with Angle, or it could be this, it could be that. But for me, what a great way to kind of bookend John Cena and his career in WWE by having him in there against the guy that he first faced off with. And not only just because it makes a nice story, but also because it kind of knocks out two birds with one stone.
Right.
Because for me, if not those two against each other, then you have to start coming up with opponents. And it's kind of easier to do that with Kurt Angle. But then when it comes to John Cena, you start putting some pieces together and it's like, is it even worth him being on there when you start putting those pieces there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they had thought it would be Drew McIntyre when he somehow removed, you know, was supposed to do that injury angle. And there was that thought. But as of Raw on Monday, it looks like Drew is in there with Roman Reigns. So Cena's without an opponent, Angle's without an opponent. Jimmy, is that the dream match for Angle to go out with there?
Mike makes a great point, and I like the idea of bookending the careers that way. Obviously, you know, John Cena being, John Cena's first opponent
right,
on the roster was Kurt Angle. I mean, yeah, it the circle of life Simba, as I like to call it, would work out perfectly. But at the same time, I'm of two thoughts here. I love that idea, but at the same time, it's almost like a traditional old school thing where you want to see a young up and coming guy get the proverbial rub, the passing of the torch, so to speak. The only problem is with only 3 weeks to build towards it, is this enough time to properly set up a match where a young guy, because somebody brought up to me the idea of maybe like a Chad Gable, and I love that idea. It's just that he's so entrenched in the tag team scene right now. Can you branch him off quickly enough to make this work? That's the only problem, is the timing of it. With the lack of time, two guys that can obviously make the build to this in 3 weeks is John Cena and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, Chad Gable would have been fine, but he is wrapped up in the tag scene. And the other one, I think that they may have gone towards, but it just did not work out. And that is, of course, Jason Jordan. Now, he's injured. And on top of that, that was just such a horrible angle. So, I mean, I kind of see it being John Cena headed that way, just out of luck with neither one of these guys having an opponent at this point. Monday night also saw Triple H and Batista. Now, Jimmy, last time you were on, you chatted about being out to dinner with Dave Batista and talking to him about wanting to do this angle. However, does it feel backwards to you?
In the sense...
Batista coming back and calling out Triple H. So Batista is the heel here with the whole gimme what I want, as opposed to Triple H being the heel. And because Batista, you know, showed him up when he did that promo on SmackDown 1000.
No, I don't know. It's kind of hard, especially with the authority figures in WWE recently. It's kind of hard to tell who is heel and who is babyface. And
that's for everyone now, I think, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty much up and down the board. But but yeah, I don't know if it's kind of backwards, maybe. But I like Dave better as a heel,
right?
And I think he's finding his oats there in Hollywood and finding that he can portray that heel character better. I feel sorry for the audio guy who had to pick up that wireless mic after he was demo. But yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I like the fact that Triple H, you know, it's well known that Triple H is good friends and also very respectful of Ric Flair. So in this scenario, it does make sense for him to be the babyface in this.
Now, Mike, though, the one thing that I also pointed out here earlier in the show is the fact that we had Triple H and Batista that happened at WrestleMania 21, and there seems to be no reference to this at all. And it's kind of like when Triple H faced The Undertaker that first time and then faced him again a couple times, but there was no reference to the first match, which kind of surprised me because the beginning of this angle was Batista saying, "You never beat me." But now that seemed to have disappeared.
Yeah, they didn't mention it at all, and I would be very surprised if they don't over these next 3 weeks, because not only do you have Batista defeating Triple H at WrestleMania, you have him defeating Triple H the next month at Backlash. So Dave could always bring that up, too, when it comes time to, when I'm saying I'm going to end your career, I'm going to end your career, because not only could you not beat me on the biggest stage of them all, you couldn't even catch me the next month at Backlash. And it would be difficult for me to believe that the way they have played the angles on this, that that's not one that they're going to take in these next 3 weeks, because like Batista said, this is all about going out his way and ending Triple H the way he wants to.
Then what do you do, Jimmy, when it gets to WrestleMania? I mean, I don't think Big Dave is getting this win. I think Triple H will get his win back here.
No, I agree, because it, in the sense of who's going to be sticking around,
yeah.
Hunter's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Dave, this is his, I guess, his swan song, his one WrestleMania, last WrestleMania moment before, you know, he takes over full-time in Hollywood. So it's got to be Hunter, in my opinion.
Shane O'Mac and The Miz. To me, another backwards angle. Mike, I love The Miz as a heel because he's so dislikable. But now we got Shane playing the heel, which feels forced and awkward to me. Do you find this one backwards?
Yeah. I've been hearing about, you know, there's been so much banter about Shane turning heel since Saudi Arabia that I'm not surprised that it's happened. And I think there's anybody out there that watches Miz and Mrs., which is coming back for a second season, you see the Miz outside the realm of Monday night and Tuesday night, where he's this really likable, personable guy. Everybody knows he goes out there and does all the PR. You know, he's got great fantasy football love. I mean, he's got the hot wife that people like, all that stuff, where he's very easy to boo when he's out there in his character.
but he's also easy to cheer. And I think as a personality, I'm okay with cheering The Miz right now and going head up against Shane McMahon. I just wonder long term if that's something he's going to be able to pull off. And I don't, Miz as your top plucky baby face, I don't know if that's the answer, but I think for this story, I'm willing to take it, especially if he ends up running off Shane after WrestleMania, and that's the last we see of that part of the McMahon family. We'll have to see what happens, but I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be okay with less McMahons, but I don't think we're ever, ever, ever going to get it on WWE. If you want less McMahons, you got to go watch something else, essentially. What do you think, though, Jimmy, with the smart crowd, the traveling crowd that comes to WrestleMania, and Miz getting over as a babyface with them? I think it's tough.
I don't think so. I think they're the ones that appreciate his work more than anybody because of the fact that they know they've been in tune with his heel persona for so long and can kind of appreciate and enjoy and respect his heel work. That being said, I think there's this natural dislike between the hardcore traveling crowd and anyone with the last name McMahon mm-hmm. at this point, where it works for Shane to be a heel. I think Shane is more in his element as a heel. I think he performs better as a heel. It comes off more genuine when he's snarky and nasty. And like I said, the DNA didn't fall far from the tree when it comes to that kind of performance from his dad. But I also think back to, not to get off topic, but can you imagine back in the day when Vince was at the height of his Mr. McMahon character, if he had the same athleticism that Shane had, it would be insane.
Yeah, well, Shane does better. He doesn't blow out his quads running to the ring.
Exactly.
But Jimmy, I mean, I think Shane is, I mean, he's sweating when he walks to the ring at this point. I really have no need to see Shane in the ring at all anymore.
Well, I can see that point, but at the same time, you know, he's, there's a little bit more substance to when he's in the ring than when it's somebody like his father.
Back in the day, yeah. So, I mean, speaking of his father, let's lean over to that because, you know, despite Vince McMahon, you know, it's always rumored that he doesn't want to be on TV anymore because he thinks he's too old. He still keeps popping up, and now he's playing this weird dementia version of Vince McMahon who continually changes his mind. And Kofi Kingston this week has got to go through a gauntlet. Is this not overkill, Mike?
Oh, it is. Of course it is. The same way there's been overkill when it comes to Ronda and Charlotte and Becky Lynch. It's they, I'm sure, think that they're doing exactly what they need to do to build layers to a story to get us to WrestleMania. I stand a little bit to the side of being a little bit more old school and not needing all of this stuff. And I think there's a way you could have told the Kofi Daniel Bryan story without Vince just being really weird about Kofi. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this is about. He went and he put Kevin Owens in because ratings. But then he comes and plays out Kofi Kingston the next week. And, you know, you ask why. It's because they're building a story where Kofi overcomes. He's going to beat, instead of beating one giant, he's going to go through a gauntlet the same way he did last week. He's going to do the same thing on Tuesday on SmackDown, and he's going to overcome. And I'm sure they're looking at this as a great story and a great way where he can get to Mania. I just think it's overdone, but that's, you know, it's hard to really complain about that too much. It's just that's what they do. Given that much time, they tend to just pile too much on top of each other, leading to WrestleMania, really leading to a lot of events.
So looking at Mania, I mean, right now they're really setting the stage for the big wins for Becky Lynch and the big win for Kofi Kingston as well. Do they allow the fans to actually have two things that they want to happen at WrestleMania? Jimmy, is Kofi going over, or is he the angle that gets screwed and then wins at Backlash?
See, that's the big question because, you know, obviously you want the people to leave on a big high and a happy moment. I'm not seeing two or even three or whatever very happy moments ending or coming to fruition at WrestleMania. And to Mike's point, too, it's a convoluted storyline, which makes, you know, sometimes, you know, the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid, it works. You know, I mean, sometimes I think they overthink themselves sometimes into these situations where they try to, like Mike said, add too many layers because they think the fans are too in tune with what's going on. But sometimes just go with it. But to your point about WrestleMania, you know what? I could actually see Becky being the one being
screwed
because it is a three-way match, and there is an out there because you have Charlotte added to the match, and you can you know go back and I can't even remember what the name is. It Backlash after WrestleMania?
Normally, yeah, it's Backlash, and then Money in the Bank's moved up this year as well. Here's the thing, though, with that, Jimmy, that's the final match, and I mean, I do think you want the glorious moment at the end. So I would give more of an advantage to Becky getting that win for the big moment, and Kofi getting screwed because he's in the middle of the card.
I could see that, but at the same time, could it be this year that they don't end WrestleMania on one of those feel good happy moments? Where he goes home happy.
Just give us what we want, Mike. Is Kofi getting this title?
You know, in a lot of scenarios, I would say no. But to be honest, I wouldn't buck the way the story has played. If Kofi's not standing out there holding that title at the end, there's going to be a good segment of that fan base that has been a fan of Kofi for a long time and feels as though WWE ignores them, like when they bring back Hulk Hogan and things like that, that are not going to react very well to Kofi basically being screwed over for really no reason whatsoever. And I know this is all wrestling and all that sort of stuff, but there's a little bit of an image thing at play there. There's still a lot of people that have not exactly forgiven them for Booker T and Triple H's storyline at WrestleMania. I know that makes people want to roll their eyes, a certain segment of people listening, I'm sure, but at the same time, there's also a certain segment that's looking at this going, if not now, when? And I don't think you can get away with screwing him and having him win at Fastlane or Backlash or whatever it is that comes after Mania this year. I think it's just time to go and pull the trigger on all of those happy moments on Becky, because otherwise you're going to have probably problems leaving the arena with people getting really pissed off. You might as well pull the trigger with Kofi. You're going to have Triple H beat Batista. You're going to have things up and down the card where if you want to get heat, you can get heat. I just don't think those are the two matches that you want to play around with.
All righty, we're going to end it there. But, Mike, where can people listen to you?
Hey, Wrestling Observer Live every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. on Sundays. I also do the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, or Muse's Japanese Professional Wrestling. We do that podcast also at WrestlingObserver.com, and I kind of linger out there and do a bunch of other stuff too, but you can follow me on Twitter at SemperVivi for that.
Jimmy Corderas, Twitter, of course, a place where people can find you, and you will taunt them on occasion.
Well, just on occasion. For people who don't get it, I like to have a little bit of fun, and that's what I do on Twitter, at Jimmy Corderas. And, of course, if you're in Canada, Tuesday nights at 7:30 on Sportsnet 360, you can catch myself, Caroline, Nug, and the former Santino Marella, Anthony Corelli, on Aftermath. And we just, like I like to call it, it's the Talking Dead of wrestling.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ted.
Don't go anywhere. Next up, you guys have your say. It's audio feedback right here on Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If I live to see the seven wonders, I'll make a path to the rainbow's end.
Hi, this is Nug Nargang from Sportsnet's Aftermath, and when I'm not talking about wrestling on TV, I'm performing in wrestling-based improv shows, like the next Strikes of Mania, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 at Comedy Bar. You can cheer, boo, and heckle your favorite performers just like you were at a real wrestling show. So kick off your WrestleMania weekend with Strikes of Mania at Comedy Bar, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 p.m. Just keep the signs in the back row, okay? People have to see us.
Strikes of Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advance tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm in total shock. I mean, I didn't have anything prepared. It is such an honor for the WWE universe. You are welcome.
Little bit.
Welcome back, Sunday Night's Main Event here on TSN Radio. That was Alexa Bliss this week announcing that she is going to be the host of WrestleMania. That'll be awful. As will Braun Strowman and the SNL guys, Michael Che and Colin Jost. I like SNL. I like those guys on Weekend Update. I am not looking forward to seeing them at WrestleMania. Just no purpose whatsoever. Not going to be entertaining. And Alexa Bliss, I mean, if you're going to have a host, why her? I guess WWE is just so bound and determined to keep her on television because I'm guessing she must still be hurt. Because if she wasn't, then why isn't she the one going over and wrestling Asuka? Give her some sort of opponent. Instead, Asuka's going to probably find her way into three-way with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Anyhow, not looking forward to all of what I was just talking about there, but I am looking forward to your feedback. In this segment, we do audio feedback. I pop this up on Facebook. By all means, join the Sunday Night's Main Event group at SNME Radio on Facebook. Search it. I will grant you access, and then you can send me messages on Facebook via your phone. So here we go at number one.
Hi, this is Adam from Hamilton. I just wanted to comment on a few things. I like the AJ and Randy Orton promos. I like how those chirps are based in reality. You know, a lot of the indie stuff, I think it's really good. I like the Batista frothing at the mouth stuff. I think that shows he's really intense. He's really into it. He's been begging for this match, and he's going to get it. But my question is, what do you think with heel Shane? Do you see him going forward after the Miz feud sort of being the new Vince McMahon one day in the future? Just want to know what you think about that. Bye.
Thanks, Adam. Shane McMahon as the new Vince McMahon character. Nope, I don't think that is going to happen. Reason being, Stephanie's already got that role. Stephanie is definitely trying to be just like her dad. I honestly don't really know where Shane McMahon falls. I wish he would fall off television. The more Shane is on, the more I remember that I don't really care for the character. And sure, he got a huge pop a couple years ago now when he did return to WWE, but there's too much McMahon. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm not interested in seeing it. I guess he may try to be more like his father. And he's going to continue to wrestle, which again is unfortunate because that's, as I said in the Triple Threat segment, I'm just not interested in seeing Shane in the ring. So I hope he doesn't continue, but guaranteed, Adam, you're probably right. That's what he's going to try to be like, and we all have to deal with a lot more Shane McMahon on our TV. Next up.
Hi, Jason. Chris from Sault Ste. Marie. Just wondering who you think could induct DX in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Chris. I don't know if they're doing people to induct acts this year. They really want to keep the amount of time spent for the Hall of Fame ceremony shorter this year. So I think that they've done away with the people inducting. However, if I'm wrong and they are inducting people, who should induct DX? I don't know. Stone Cold? I'm trying to think of who they had feuds with and who would work here. Vince McMahon. I mean, they were constantly pissing off Vince McMahon at every opportunity. So maybe that's who you go with. Or they'll probably, if they're going to do it, they'll have some weird scenario take place. And hey, what about Mike Tyson? Because if they can get Mike Tyson in to induct DX, he did that big angle where he punched Shawn Michaels on behalf of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Maybe that's your guy right there. Because once again, WWE in love with getting a little bit of mainstream coverage, and maybe Tyson will give that to you.
How's it going, buddy? Jake from the Windy City here again. I do want to enlighten this question to you about AEW. 10 years ago, I was a huge TNA fan when I was growing up, and for a time, I really thought that it was going to be a viable mainstream alternative to the WWE, simply because TNA had the strong presence it had with Spike TV and, you know, the amount of big stars they produced. I do want to ask you, what do you think All Elite Wrestling should learn from TNA's mistakes so they wouldn't go down that same path that Impact Wrestling is currently in right now? Cheers, bro.
Rule number one, don't hire Vince Russo. And if you do, make sure the network's okay with it. Jake, who are the stars that TNA produced on their own? I'm not counting AJ Styles, who moved over, but like, who did TNA actually make a star when they were in TNA? No one. TNA depended on getting stars from WWE, and that's something that AEW has to be weary of. that they don't just take everyone from WWE. Look at the example of Christian. When they took Christian and they made him into, well, they tried to make him into a big star. They also relied on Kurt Angle. That one made sense, even though Kurt wasn't in the best health at the time. And that did their best ratings when we saw Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe. So, yes, no Vince Russo, and don't make it a dumping ground for everyone that comes out of WWE, and create your own stars, which they're already definitely ahead of the game on, because Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega are all gods to the audience that is currently waiting with bated breath for AEW to happen.
Hansy from Toronto, I just want to say that I didn't think this Kofi thing could get any better or compelling than it has already since the last week. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that McMahon named a lot of other people to face Kofi who have programs already. So if any of them interfere to try to screw Kofi Kingston, I wouldn't mind if like different baby faces are helping Kofi Kingston to counter the interference, and it ends up being a momentous occasion for Kofi in the end. And I don't know how you feel about this, and you know, I still think the women should main event, but the women event has cooled down a bit for me. So I think this could actually main event the pay-per-view if they really wanted.
Hansy, come on. There is no way Kofi is main eventing WrestleMania. I know the hype is happening for him right now, but let's face it. This is all going to be based on Ronda Rousey and getting mainstream attention. And hopefully, just hopefully, it is still Becky Lynch with that title held high at the end of things. Kofi's in the middle of the card, Hansy. Sorry.
Hey, Jason. David from the UK here again. By the time the show goes out, the Ring of Honor 17th anniversary show will be in the book, and we'll know whether it's Jay Lethal or Matt Taven that's taking the title on. However, with the announcement that Marty Scurll's going to fight the winner, which I'm going to presume is going to be Lethal, for the G1 Madison Square Garden WrestleMania weekend show, how do you see that with Scurll fighting for the title? And do you think Ring of Honor potentially are going to put the title on him to keep him and stop him going to All Elite when his contract's up later on in the year? As usual, kindest regards, Dave.
Thanks, David. Interesting question here, and I talked about this in the news. I do think that Scurll is leaving with the title, but I also think that there is nothing that Ring of Honor can do to prevent Scurll from going to AEW when his contract is up. Fact of the matter is, he's going to want to spend time with his buddies. I mean, there's no better thing to do than be able to work with your friends. It doesn't feel like work, and Scurll is such a marketable persona that this will actually be something very nice for AEW, who's going to get this major push when they start out with all these guys getting on television. And then later down the line, you can tease Scurll coming in, and it's going to be another huge pop. But I actually think that, you know, leaving this MSG show, Villain Enterprises will have the tag titles, the IWGP tag titles, the ROH six-man tag titles, and Scurll will also have the ROH title on his shoulder or around his waist. They got to find other places to wear the titles. They're going to have so many. That's what I think is happening. I think the big push is going on Villain Enterprises, and nothing can stop Scurll from going to AEW. But might as well use them while you got them. And that's what they're going to do. And what we are going to do is take a break. We'll come on back. Dave Meltzer is next. Mikey Whipwreck in our second hour. Remember, though, if you want to be part of the audio feedback segment that we just did, all you got to do is find me on Facebook. Just add me as a friend, Jason Agnew, and then you can send them right into my inbox, and I will get them on the air for you and pop them into this segment and give you my feedback on your feedback. Taking a break. Back with Meltzer after this Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, it's available right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month, which works out to a buck a show if you're just listening to the weekly show, but we'll also throw in all the bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit us right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio.